This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
I need a little guidance, okay?
I got you.
So NBC News tweeted this out about 1 o'clock this afternoon. New York City could see between 2 inches and 20 inches of snow this weekend. Way to nail it down, NBC.
Oh, that's a bad job.
That's not even trying.
Now, listen, I only get my news from ABC, honestly, because they're the only ones who know what they're doing.
Oh, yeah, wow.
There you go. I like what you're doing.
And, you know, because I watch Lee Goldberg, and he readily admits that they've got to wait on this because there's like 3 or 4 different directions that this can hit. Last night when I watched the news... The 3 fronts that they're keeping an eye on that are supposed to merge on the East Coast just hit the Pacific Northwest last night. So it's got to come across the country, and there's a few different things it could do. It could go out to sea, and we'll just get a coating, or it could really hit us direct and get to 20. That's all you say. I mean, it's only Wednesday. This is supposed to hit Friday night into Saturday, so things can change. Don't tell us that.
2 to 20.
How do I prepare for that?
There's nothing. It's absolutely useless. And by the way, if you say you don't have the answer yet, we just don't have the answer. It's going to be a winter event. Stay tuned. We'll let
Champion,
you know.
Champion, Jeff Smith, Lee Goldberg. If you're getting it anywhere else, you don't know what you're doing.
Look at you.
You're staring into a dark closet.
People would call you a house organ or a shill.
I don't say what you. I'm just telling you. That's what I do. I'm not saying it because somebody told me to say it. That's how it works in our house. We make sure Channel 7 is on, all right? Then we go through the DVR to watch everything. I found out the other night the great job by Stephen A. Smith on Black-ish. He did a great job. It was last week. I just saw it a couple of days ago. I never watch anything live except sports. And then that way when we're done with the DVR, guess what's on, Michael? Bang, Channel 7. Rewind to 11 o'clock, watch the news.
Boom.
And once you turn 50, Peter, all you care about is the weather.
Yeah, why is it? And in your case, you don't even know why.
I don't know why. Just you have to catch the weather.
You know what? It's funny as you get older, but I've never really cared about weather. Like Jody is obsessed with weather, and I don't care. She'll tell me, "Oh, look, this week." I said, "So what? Where are we going?"
I never cared, but I have to come into the city in the next couple of days, and so I'm working the Ranger game Friday night. That's the Lundqvist night, and because the game's not going to face off until 8 o'clock, I'm probably not going to leave the parking garage until after 11, so I'm concerned, am I going to be hitting a blizzard?
Why don't you get a hotel room?
No.
Why?
No. Part of me as a La Greca, I don't want to give it a gender because women can think the same way.
Okay.
You fight through it. You get home. Got a family, you get home. I have driven through things that...
Wait, hold on.
The day after tomorrow kind of weather.
But you have to remember, Don, one thing I'll throw out there. Only in the last year, for some reason, have there been these days and events where people are stuck in basic 2-hour traffic for a full day. That has happened.
Now, you both, I don't think there's a person that has ever met him that doesn't like Bruce Beck.
Oh, he's salt of the earth.
Right. Nature's nobleman, right?
Right.
And he just texted me.
Oh, no.
Path is complicated. 2 to 20 is better than saying 2 feet nothing or 2 inches in a blizzard. Janice Huff is as good as it gets. Sorry, Don. How about that?
Hey.
Defending his colleague.
See, Bruce is doing what he's got to do.
He doesn't have to do it.
And but I don't work for ABC News.
It's all part of the Disney family. Come on.
But you know me. How many times have I gotten in trouble for not towing the company line? But Bruce is amazing. NBC Sports is amazing.
Oh, no.
But
don't backpedal now. Your hamstrings will pop.
You want my message to Bruce is?
What?
When your contract's up, come work for us.
Oh, my.
Wow.
Bruce is a lifer to NBC.
Hey, listen. Do the right thing.
Listen,
do the right thing. Hey, Bruce, do the right thing.
I like you.
Come over here.
I will defend Bruce over you. That's how good a guy Bruce is.
How much they paying you, Bruce? Come over. Do the right thing.
You know what? Michael, I agree with you. If the two people to save, if it's between Michael and Bruce hanging off a cliff,
right?
I'm saving Bruce. Bruce is the better guy, and that will get me into heaven quicker.
Good. Right. I hope you have to call Jody, too.
Well, you just said it yourself. You'd say Boost over me.
True, but you didn't have to take it back. Anyway, Dan Orlovsky is going to join us now.
Let's see.
It's time for the Dan Orlovsky Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. Dan, how are you?
I'm doing good. I apologize for my tardiness, guys. I apologize.
No, well. you have a good reason, so no problem whatsoever. Before we get to now, I just want to ask you one thing. 13 seconds left. As you're sitting there watching, did you think that they'd get in position to kick a field goal?
No, I didn't. You know, when Josh threw that touchdown pass to Gabe Davis, I had a good friend of mine text me and said, what did I just see? And I said, it's takeover. And I meant it in regards to Josh Allen was going to take, he took over. He's now the guy that you got to go through in the AFC. And then somehow, some way, those three kind of steps of kicking the ball off instead of squid kicking it and then giving those two completions give the Chiefs the chance to tie the football game. And they were just very much so prepared for the situation. You could see it, the way they executed both before the snap and after the snap. Incredible preparation by them.
But still, defensively, that was poor.
Terrible. Oh, yeah, terrible. And I was talking to a kid last night. The shocking part is the Bills have such a good coaching staff. I mean, such a good coaching staff that is detail-oriented and really good teachers and very much so prepared for basically all moments of a football game. And for them, you know, to not understand that time was of the essence and not distance, not yardage, was shocking. Do I think that the Bills gave that game away more than the Chiefs won it? Yes. I don't want to diminish what the Chiefs did, but it wasn't like they made incredible plays. I mean, he threw a dump off that Tyreek Hill went 20 yards untouched, and then he threw a seam route. No, I love the fact that Kelce and him kind of freestyled at recess backyard stuff, but that was more of a coaching error on the Buffalo Bills than it was an incredible play by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Dan, the numbers are very stark. They're hard to argue with. Why is Aaron Rodgers a different quarterback in the postseason?
I think it's because he gets into the postseason and thinks he's got to do it all by himself. And if you go watch that football game, the thing that stands out is Aaron would not take throws to guys not Devontae Adams. And that was the thing, Michael, that separated Aaron Rodgers this season. And I talked about it all year, was he would take the simpler throw, the basic throw, and he would treat it with such reverence and respect like you would the 50-yard bomb that had to be thrown perfectly. He would – the ball placement, the execution, you could see the focus level on some of those easier throws were such a big deal. And he didn't care who it was. The defense is telling me that's where the ball has to go. Great, here. He didn't do that seven times in that football game. Seven. That there is a – underneath throw, 7-8 yard pivot, stop route somewhere, and he just doesn't throw it. There's multiple times when he looks at it, goes to throw it, and doesn't. Tucks it and runs or tries to move in the pocket. And I think the most egregious one is I think it's about 3 minutes and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. He throws a big down the field post to Devontae Adams in double coverage, and Alan Lazard is running in the middle of the field on a 20-yard in route by himself. And I don't say this, he would hit his head on the goalpost and score. No one was even remotely close to him. And I've seen Aaron make that throw hundreds and hundreds of times in the regular season. And I think he just gets into this mode in the postseason where he feels like he's got to be hero ball or do it all his own, or it's just him and Devontae. And I think it uncharacteristically hurt his performance.
Can Cincinnati protect Joe Burrow Sunday?
No, but he showed last week they don't need to. You know, it showed 9 sacks in a football game. It reminds me of Eli Manning's San Francisco NFC Championship game, I don't know, a decade ago, where he just got his teeth kicked in, but he kept getting up and making plays. But, you know, I said it going into that game, eventually the bad offensive line comes back to haunt you. Now, I don't think they're going to get 3 interceptions this weekend like they did last weekend, so that's got to be concerning, you know. And when you go back and watch these two teams in Week 17, Kansas City got pressure on Joe. But what happened was the pressure was met with man coverage on the outside, one-on-one, and they can't cover Cincinnati. Like, I think Steve Spagnuolo, the defensive coordinator, has got to be understanding, dude, you can't cover those kids. You just can't. You don't have the humans. So as much as I want to sit here and say, like, Cincinnati's offensive line, they're not good enough. They haven't been good enough all year. They've been the 30th ranked or the 31st ranked offensive line in pass protection all season long. Joe's just been the best quarterback at making guys miss. So my football brain tells me eventually it catches up to you, but this kid has become Houdini. I just know this. They can't score in the teens. They're going to have to score 35 at least to win.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I gotta ask you. We talk about a lot of players who make Kansas City special. And to me, somehow, we don't even mention it enough how special Travis Kelce is. I mean, this guy has been putting up 1,000-yard seasons.
That literally went into my mind when you started making that comment.
Exactly. So this guy's been putting up 1,000-yard seasons at tight end since you were an active player in the NFL in Detroit, okay? That's how long he's been doing it. At what point do we start talking about kind of like all-time context for Travis Kelce?
Oh, I think he's already in that conversation. I think Travis Kelce's the second-best tight end I've ever seen in my life. Rob Gronkowski is the number one and will always likely be for me. Travis Kelce, in many ways, took the tight end position to the next level in the NFL. You know, Rob was a little bit of the do-it-all, could do both. You could play him at wide receiver, you could play him in line. That's very much George Kittle. Kelce was like one of those first guys that was such a matchup issue, information giver, if it was man coverage or zone coverage. And the thing that's fascinating, if you've watched him over the last 4 or 5 weeks, because it's almost like Patrick in the middle of the season, he didn't look good. Kelce did not look good. I think the thing that has made him so special is he completely understands body lean. Like, he understands what leaning into a defender does, or what a defender leaning into him, how he creates angles and advantages to run his routes. He was obviously a guy that they were going to feature, you know, on the back end of that game. The game winner is a route that is so nuanced when he pushes up and then breaks out. You know, people don't notice this stuff, but when he breaks out to the out route on the game winner versus Milano, he peeks back to Patrick. And once defenders see you peek back, they think, okay, he's looking back for the football. He's just doing it to make you think that. And that's such a little nuanced thing. Obviously, the ability to see the defense before that play with 8 seconds left and go, hey, if it's there, I'm taking it, and just see the big picture of where space is on the field is special. So I think he's in the conversation for one of the greatest ever already. Certainly – like I said, he's the second best guy that I've ever seen.
Dan Orlovsky is our guest on the Michael Kay Show, his weekly spot. Dan, I'm watching the game on TV. I know you put it under a microscope and you look at all the available film that you have, but I'm watching the 49er game, and there was at least three throws that Garoppolo made that should have been pick sixes. I mean, the out throw.
Yeah.
Did you see the same thing, and how are they going to win if he plays like that?
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that. Jimmy Garoppolo, I said this today, it's like Jimmy Garoppolo to me is a boat. People tell me how it works, it just doesn't make sense to my brain. It just doesn't. And that's how I feel about him because, you know, I said there's these tiers of quarterbacks. Quarterbacks you win because of. Patrick Mahomes is in that. Josh Allen is in that. And then quarterbacks you win with. And that's who Jimmy Garoppolo is. He's a quarterback that the 49ers win a lot of football games with. But not in the playoffs. In the playoffs, he's a quarterback they win in spite of. Jimmy Garoppolo is 9-2 as a starting quarterback when he does not throw a touchdown pass. He's 3-0 in the playoffs when he does not throw a touchdown pass. I just watched Josh Allen throw for 4 and lose. So people who point to me and go like, well, Jimmy Garoppolo, they win with them. that because 2 years ago when they won the Super Bowl, they had the number one rush offense and the number one defense in the NFL. Yes, that team with a couple throws here and there from a quarterback should be in the Super Bowl. And then this year, they've got a top five run game, and they've got a defense that is the number one defense in the NFL over the last 8 weeks. They've got a defensive coordinator that is skyrocketing it up head coaching candidacies in DeMeco Ryans. That team should have a chance to play in the NFC title game. I'll give Jimmy his props. It seems like when they need him to make a couple throws late in games, he does. He has one completion, one, in the playoffs outside of the numbers. One. And, like, you guys have watched football way longer than I have. Can you imagine a team going to the Super Bowl two times in 3 years? And in that NFC title game, the quarterback having zero touchdown passes, my brain can't, in 2020, in 2022, I can't, that doesn't, I can't compute how that can happen.
Well, it happens because of who his coach is, and in this particular matchup, he owns McVay. Why does he own him, and why will it change on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, I think a little bit of it is the teacher versus the mentor. You know, Sean McVay learned basically everything that he knows under Kyle Shanahan. You know, I think that the 49ers roster was probably early on, those first 2 years they played, was probably a little bit better than the Rams when it came to the 1 through 53. The reality is that the Rams defense just hasn't stopped Kyle's offense. I don't think they've matched the physicality that you've got to match. Like, I can boil this game down very simply for people. The Rams defense, you better be willing to stop the toss play. This is going to have a little bit of an old school 1990s feel. Like, you better stop toss. The 49ers are going to toss the ball, and they're going to run it outside the numbers, and everybody, 11 cats on your team, better be willing to come and put their face on other people's faces. If they don't do that, they can't win this football game.
Who would you pick as the Giant coach?
I think Dan Quinn would be my pick, as long as I loved who he was bringing with him as offensive coordinator. I don't know who that would be. I don't know the guys that he might have in his Rolodex, but there's something about, you know, when Dan Quinn was in Atlanta, they had a lot of success, and then they started to draft poorly. And that's when that team really started to kind of slack off a little bit, specifically on the defensive side. And you have to pay attention to what he did in Dallas this year. But more importantly, and I talk to people that are talking to guys from Atlanta. I know some of those cats and guys in Dallas. And you cannot find anybody that says anything good about Dan Quinn. It's always great stuff. Guys love playing for him, and they love being around him. And I think if Joe Shane, their new general manager, drafts well, I think – because of the way Dan Quinn knows defense, but also the type of interactive leader that he is, I think it makes a lot of sense. Obviously, Flores has got a lot of building momentum. I'm a huge fan of Flores. I thought Miami kind of moving on from him was a disappointment or a mistake, but I don't know. There's something about Dan Quinn that at least has my interest.
Good stuff, Dan. As always, we appreciate it. Enjoy the weekend of football.
Thanks, guys. You guys as well.
All right. That's the Dan Orlovsky Report, brought to you by Cityside Medical, the ED specialist. We'll take a quick timeout, come back, take phone calls of ENN after that. It's Kay LeGreco-Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.